The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sukkah has been dedicated by Celia and Isaac Jamal, Hashem Alehem Yehyu Amen, for the Hatzlecha of their dear children. May they see much nachat from all of them. May they all grow up and get married in the right time and have children healthily, happily, with beracha v'atzlacha. And may they see descendants and descendants of their descendants. Ad bi'ad goel sedek. Amen. The Masechet has also been dedicated la'ilu nishmat Sarah bat Adel Ruach Hashem Tanihena began Eden. Amen. Again by Celia and Isaac Jamal. To school the mitzvot. Daf Chav Vav. Today's daf. Today's daf is being studied. La'ilu nishmat Avraham den Esther Ruach Hashem Tanihena began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. La'ilu nishmat Mazal bat Frida Sheneftered Bekitzul Yamin Veshanim. Ruach Hashem Tanihena began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. Lefuat Shelema Chamavadya Yosef Ben Gurjia. Enna Refanalo, Enna Refanalo. Etor Sharachole Amo Yisrael. Amen. Finally, today's daf has been sponsored by our good friends from Aventura, Florida. Yeah. The Baghdadi family, Roger and Raquel Baghdadi, in honor of the Rabbi Hashem Alehem Yehyu. Amen. We begin today's daf on Kafhe Amud Bet. And we start from, let's count this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, about 14 lines from the bottom, starting from Ve'amar Abi Abba Bar Zavda Amar Rav. Ve'amar Abi Abba Bar Zavda Amar Rav, Chatan, the Chatan, a groom, Ve'ash Shusbinin, Shusbinin are his friends, right, that are also involved in the Simcha, his company. Bechol b'nei ha'chupa. And for that matter, all the members of the chupa. Now when we say chupa in this Gemara, it's really referring to bet hatanim. The custom was in the olden days that after the wedding, they would go to the hatan's house and they would set up like a canopy, special area for the hatan bekala. They would celebrate over there for 1 week. All the parties were done in the bet hatan. That was the special place where they celebrated. So it says, Bechol b'nei ha'chupa, and all the people that are at the chupa, meaning at the hatan's house, that are celebrating for the week, Piturim min ha'sukkah kol shiv'ah. So they're exempt from sukkah all 7 days. Why? Because they're involved in the mishteh, in the simchat hatan, the kala. Again, obviously we're talking about a hatan that got married before the holiday, because you can't get married on the holiday itself. They got married right before Sukkot, and then when he's having the shiva berachot week, let's say, he's having the parties for the 7 days, so they're exempt. Everybody goes to the hatan's house. So the Gemara says, my tama, what's the reason? Mishum deba'u lemehdeh. Because they got to be happy. And therefore the simcha is in the house. So for that the Gemara says, V'lichlu b'sukkah, v'lichdu b'sukkah. What are you talking about? Let them eat in the sukkah, meaning have the meals of the hatan in the sukkah, let them be happy in the sukkah, which means, why can't they do it in the sukkah? So the Gemara says, En simcha, ela b'chupa. No, the real simcha is in the house. You can't have the simcha in the sukkah. The real simcha is in the chuppah, meaning in the hatan's house. Either because it's more comfortable over there, or the hatan's he's accustomed to it. And therefore the real enjoyment is in the hatan's house. You can't do it in the sukkah. So the Gemara says, V'lichlu b'sukkah v'lichlu b'chuppah. So the Gemara says, fine. Let them have the meal of the hatan in the sukkah, and then after that they go and revel in the party, whatever it is in the house itself. So he goes, "En simcha elam kum seuda." He says, "No, the main simcha is the place where they're having the seuda. That's part of the simcha. So it can only be done in the house." So the Gemara says, "Vili'bedu chupa b'sukkah." So the Gemara says, "Fine, move the chupa to the sukkah." Which means, let them go into the sukkah, let them partition off a certain area to make like bit hatan in the sukkah itself, where the hatan and kala could sit privately, maybe you put a little curtain in order to partition it off a little, but you have a little chuppah in the sukkah itself, and then you solve all the problems. The Gemara says, Abaye Amar Mishum Yehud. Because you have a problem of Yehud. What's the problem of Yehud? In the olden days, they used to build their sukkot on the roofs. Kind of the rooftops, which was really a secluded area. Now what are we worried about? it's going to happen that Hatan is with his friends in the Kupah, and they got the whole thing over there in the Sukkah, and all of a sudden it's possible that the Hatan is going to leave for whatever reason it is, to go down for a minute or do whatever it is, and now his wife is going to be left and secluded in that area with another man. And therefore, it's on the roof, it's a secluded area, and therefore you have a problem of yichud, because a man and a lady, married lady in this case, not allowed to be alone with another man. So therefore, Abaye was worried about doing it in the sukkah, you're going to have problems of yichud. Because again, since it's in a secluded area, the sukkah, like on a roof, so they're alone for a little bit, so therefore you're going to have a problem. So comes the Gemara and says, but mishum sar hatan. The different reason. Sar Hatan, it's anguish to the Hatan. What's the anguish to the Hatan? That she says, no. Shamakom tsar upahot. It's a very, a sukkah is a sukkah. It's a narrow place. She'en la'ila shalosh defanot. We're talking about a sukkah, minimum sukkah, like three walls. Ubosh le sahaikim kadato. He's a Hatan, he wants to be with his wife. He's going to be in his wife in the sukkah. It's an open area. It's not, he's embarrassed. In the house, he's able to be close to his kala, but not in his sukkah. So those are the two reasons. Either you have an issue of yehud, or you have an issue of tzar. And we know the rule is that a mitzta'ir is patur from the sukkah. That's the rule we're going to be learned in the Mishnah. Somebody has anxiety or agony or pain, whatever it is, he's exempt from the sukkah. So comes the Gemara and says, "My binayu." What's the difference between the reasons? Ika binayu deshkilhi inche denafke va'ale lehatam. Nafka mina is a case where you built a sukkah that has current traffic, where people are constantly going in and out of the sukkah. Leman damar mishum yehudeka. According to the opinion, it says your problem is yehud, or not in this sukkah, since it's a heavily traveled sukkah, people are going in and out. There's no yehud. There's always going to be people. We're not worried about the kala being alone with the secluded. However, leman davar mishum sar hatan ika. But the sar hatan you're going to have, because you can't have the sar hatan. So you have a lot of people going in and out of the sukkah. So now that is uncomfortable. He wants to be alone with his wife a little in a more private area. So therefore, you can have an issue. So comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Zera says, "Ana achle besukah v'hadeh b'chupa." Says, "Listen, I had the seuda in the sukkah and the v'hadeh b'chupa, and I had the simcha in the chupa." She says, "I didn't follow what you're saying over here. You said do everything in the house. I didn't do that. I was mahmid on myself. I went and I had the seuda in the sukkah, and then we went inside to the house. We had the simcha. They called sheken d'hadeh libay." He says, "You know what? Well, the more so I was happy. Well, the more so I was bismcha. Why? The ka'avid na tarte. I was able to do two mitzvot, which means I did the mitzvah of simchat hatan, but also I sat in the sukkah. So therefore, Rabbi Zera, what he's saying is, I agree with you, halacha, which means you're right. Really, you can do everything in the house because of the issues that were raised. But I was machmir on myself. I don't want to give up the mitzvah of sukkah. So therefore, I had the mitzvah. I did it in the sukkah. Look at Rashi. Rashi says." Third wide line. Tarte. Shtei mitzvot. Sukkah u'mitzvot nesu'in. I did two mitzvot. I sat in the sukkah and I fulfilled the mitzvah of getting married. Okay, we're talking about again the case where he got married. Erev haregel. He got married before the holiday. Good. Okay, fine. Very good. That's the opinion of Rabbi Zera. Now, there's an interesting point of the Tosafot over here. The Tosafot just says that from here we see in simcha ela bechupa, right? The Gemara said the simcha is really in the chupa. So from here he wants to bring a halakha, even though he rejects it later on, but somebody shouldn't even take this as a final proof that when we're making the berachot for the hatan during the Shiva berachot, the custom is the seudah, they make berachot. So the Tosafot wants to say for me, you see that you can only make these berachot, like for example, Shasimcha Be'ono, only in Bet Hatan. Because that's where the real simcha is, in the Hatan's house. But if you're making a Shema Berachot, let's say outside the Hatan's house, somewhere else, that's not the main simcha. And therefore, it would come out that if you're making a Shema Berachot, let's say today, not in the Hatan's house, which most of them are not done in the Hatan's house. So according to those opinions, you would not make the seven berachot. You just make, let's say, one beracha, whatever it is. This is one of the sources where they want to say how many berachot you make outside the chatan's house. Okay, that's the Tosafot. Okay, so comes the Gemara and continues. Comes the Gemara and says, okay. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tanu Rabanan, chatan. Vashush binim. Hatan and the Shushbinin, Hatan and his friends, Vechol bin Echopan, the whole party of the Chapa, Pinturin, Minat Tefillah, Uminat Tefillin, Vahayavim Bikiriyat Shema. Amazing. So they patur from praying, Tefillah's Amida, that she says, Vahaya Kavana. You can't have Kavana, you can't have Kavana, they're too engrossed in their Sub'ah. Uminat Tefillin. Why the example of tefillin? Mishum deshchira shechrut v'kadut rosh. Because you're drinking and there's lightheadedness, and therefore you can't wear the tefillin when you're drunk. Umin tefillin v'hayyim b'kriyat shema. B'kriyat shema, I have to read. Why? That she says, "Hayyim b'kriyat shema." The mitzvah kavanata eno ela pasuk rishon. All you gotta have kavanah in shema is what? It's one pasuk, Shema Yisrael. V'yichudim liyashiv da'atan sha'a ketana. For a little pasuk, they can concentrate. Kedei likro pasuk rishon. Just to read the pasuk rishon. Mishum Rabbi Shela, Amru, in the name of Rabbi Shela, they said, Hatan patur, v'shushbinin v'chol b'nei achopa hayavim. Now, what does this mean, Hatan patur? Hatan patur from what? So that she says, Mishum Rabbi Shela, Amru, Hatan patur mikriyat shema. So he's coming and saying, Adan, even this is after he got married. This is after, this is during the Shema Berachot, this is the week. He's patur from Kiryat Shema, why you tarid? Vishar b'nei chupa hayavim. But the rest of the b'nei chupa, I mean, v'let nu lehat tanei ha'osik b'osam patur b'na mitzvah. Amazing. That she tells the big hadush over here. These opinions over here do not subscribe to the opinion of osik b'mitzvah patur b'na mitzvah. Because if you held osik b'mitzvah patur b'na mitzvah, they're all sick in the mitzvah now of Simchat Chatan, Simchat Chatan Mekala. So therefore, seemingly they should be exempt from everything. These opinions don't hold like that. They hold really Osek b'mitzvah. Osek b'mitzvah. Hayav b'mitzvah. So then what is the Tanna Kama? We are exempting them from tefillah. The reason why, let's say, there would be patur from tefillah is not because they're Osek b'mitzvah. That she didn't say that reason. That she said the patur from tefillah because they can't have kavanah. Different item. In the state that they're in, they can have kavanah. They're not patur from tefillin because asik mazal patur min hamitzvah. They're patur because shikrut, because they're going to get drunk. And therefore, when it comes to kriyat shema, Atar Kama says, well, they can have kavanah. Go read the kriyat shema. And the hadush of Rabbi Shela would be that the Hatan is patur also because he can't even have kavanah in the first pasuk. That's the way that she is learning. It's got nothing to do with Osek b'mitzvah, patur min hamitzvah. I'd like to read you just a piece from the Ran, the way he learns Shitat Rashi. So he says like this: Ve'leit li'u lehani taneh Osek b'mitzvah patur min hamitzvah. Ve'ayit peturim min ha'tefillah u min ha'tefillin mishum deba'ei kavanah. Ve'lam b'nei kavanah ninu kedechativna. Zui Shitat Rashi Zal. That's the opinion of Rashi. It's Ran learning Rashi, like we said. V'chitema, the Ran asks, what are you talking about? How can you learn like this? V'ha avil, a mourner, de'la bar kabanahu. A mourner is preoccupied, he can't have kabanah. V'afilu achi hayab b'chol ha'mitzvot amurot b'torah. Why? Mishum de'v'ayla li'tuvay da'te. We said in yesterday's Gemara, the mourner, we tell him, control yourself and settle your mind and get over it and have kabanah. So all of a sudden it comes over here and you tell me, the guy can have kabanah, you're exempt? How do you learn like that? So the Gemara says, I mean, the Ran says, "De'efshar namit patur b'tfilah b'tfilin." So he wants to say, could be in Echanami, the mourner, maybe he's patur from tefillah tefillin, which is, we said, he's hayav and all the mitzvot, could be, yeah, mitzvot that really don't need so much kabanah, but maybe really the mourner would be patur from these mitzvot as well. But then he says, "Ve'enze mechovarli." He says, yeah, but that doesn't make sense, because we said he's only patur from tefillin on day one, because of the pasuk of pe'er. But the rest of the days, he's hayavin tefillin, as much as the other mitzvot as well. So comes the Ran and says, "Aval efshali l'tchok v'lamar al da'at Rashi, d'nehid de nosfina l'tchok v'lamar al da'at mitzvah." Yeah, even though this Gemara is not going with that principle, osek v'lamar al mitzvah, filo ha'achi, kevan de tirdat mitzvahu, lo mahmirin en alel yetuveh da'ateh. It's not avilut. Avilut is totally reshut. It's voluntary, his anguish that he's having. His preoccupation is not a mitzvah. Here, the tirda is connected to a mitzvah. I mean, it is hatam v'kala. It is something. So therefore, since it's a tirda the mitzvah, so therefore they were lenient to exempt if he can't have kavanah, which means, really, there's no osik mitzvah over here. Really, we should tell the guy, Kevin, get your concentration and pray. But you know what the Ran says? Okay. Since the guy's having kavanah for a mitzvah, I let him go. We're not gonna be ma'amir on him because it's a little difficult. That's the shita of Rashi. Aval be'avel dirshuta gereda u'ma'amirinan. Then he says velo nehira. The Ran himself does not accept shitat Rashi in the sugya. Ve'fikach nireh. He says, no, these rabbis are discussing the subject that Osik Mitzvah Patum and HaMitzvah. Mi hu svira le de bekiriyat shema de leka terha klal velo mechsar bemidi misimha didu mishumachin idechot shelo ba'al chatar patur afil kashuat de tarid lachar be'ila hayav. Which means, this Gemara is saying really are patur mitzvot. Also, why is he saying hayav bekiriyat shema? Because kiriyat shema, it's easy to do. Which means, even if you want to do Osik Mitzvah Patur, it's not going to take away from your simcha. It's an item that you can fulfill simultaneously with your simcha because it's very easy. Therefore, there's no contradiction. You know, saying all sick was up at tumen amitzvah, but still saying he's hayav in kiriyat shema. So that's a very fundamental machloket rishonim between Rashi and the Ran. How to learn this machloket between Tanakama and the Bishela? Rashi is saying it's got nothing to do with all sick mitzvah. They hold all sick mitzvah really hayav. And still they have their exemptions for the reasons that we stated. However, the Ran says, no, they are holding really all sick mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. But why do you have to be kiriyat shema, according to Tana Kama? Because it doesn't affect the mitzvah. You can still do the mitzvah of simchat atah v'kalah, and simultaneously you can be kiriyat shema, because it's a one pasuk item, and then you can have your kavanah, therefore it's not a contradiction. Correct, it's a tefillin day war, etc. But then we exempt because it's hard to stop drinking, etc. Like that she said, or singles are patum mitzvah, like the Ran saying, the bottom line, they're patum because it's too hard to have kavanah, and some is planning to do the other mitzvah as well. Okay.
Involved in a mitzvah. What mitzvah?
Simchat
Chatan.
Correct. This Be'alam mitzvah was done. Yeah. Correct. It's talking about the 7 days of simcha, which is a mitzvah. Comes the
even against them, it's on the right of Yad Shema.
Oh, so from here, someone to bring a proof over here that you see that Osek B'mitzvah, even in Midrabbanan, would exempt you from a Doraita. That's a very good proof. Because someone says the whole thing of Simchat Torah because mitzvah drabanan. So therefore, you're right. It's like we said yesterday, what Yishurim that learned, doesn't matter the level of the mitzvah. But you're sick now. The rabbi told you to do what you're doing, you're involved in the mitzvah. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanya, we have a Braita. Amar Rav Hananya bin Akabiyah. Kotve sefarim tefillin u'mezuzot. Okay, sofrim, guys that write, scribes, tefillin Torah, tefillin, mezuzot, and them themselves, v'tegrehen, that's the sellers, the merchants, v'tegrehen. The merchants sell to merchants, and they sell it like the retailers, like all the people that are involved in the chain of sale of these items. And anybody that's involved in melechet shamayim, what is that coming to include? Natuye mochre techelet. Those people that are selling the blue string for the seat, peturim mikriyat shema, umin atefillah, umin atefillin, umikol mitzvot amurot b'Torah. They're exempt from all the mitzvot in the Torah. Why? Because they're osek b'mitzvah. Now, the Rishonim do point out that when we say the peturim, so he writes over here, the Ben Yonah says over here, ve'efshal lomar, de lo patre barai kazu de kotves sefarim ela memitzvat hanehtam kol hayom aval b'shaat kriyat shema v'tefilah hayavim hem lehaniham kedei lekabel alehem ol malchut shamayim. Which is, they want to say that maybe they're only exempt from kriyat shema, let's say, or the mitzvah of tefillin, I should say, to wear it the whole day. But when they read kriyat shema in the morning, so they're going to have to put on the tefillin, because you have to wear tefillin when you're reading the kriyat shema. I mean, this tefillin they're discussing is the tefillin of the whole day. Because then they're writing and all that, they can have the kavanah, so they're exempt. Now the Mefarshim do point out also, huh?
They're exempt from shema, no.
No, they're not exempt, that's what he's saying. He's saying, they're not, in the morning, before they start their writing and stuff like that, when they do the kriyat shema, they got to put on the tefillin. For the rest of the day, they'll be exempt. Now, לקיים דברי רבי יוסי הגלילי, to fulfill רבי יוסי הגלילי's rule, שהיה רבי יוסי הגלילי אומר, העוסק במצווה, פטור מן המצווה. So that's clear, this עוסק במצווה פטור מן המצווה. Now the Mefarshim do point out that this is only talking about where they're doing it לשם שמיים. Which means if the guy's doing it for the money, to make money, it's not already עוסק לשם שמיים anymore. Yeah. If you're not עוסק במצווה, and you're sick in business. This is their merchandise. Hey, you're merchandising stuff, that's not a mitzvah already. You have to be doing it l'shem shamayim, to be exempt from the mitzvot. Now, the Gemara gives another case. Okay, guys that are traveling, businessmen, they're traveling by day, you know, on the road, bayom, during the day, peturim in a sukkah bayom. So during the day, they're exempt from sukkah, v'hayavim balayla. But at night, when they settle into the town, they're going to have this in a sukkah. Holchei derechim balayla, guys that travel by night on business, peturim in a sukkah balayla. V'hayavim bayom. Holchei derechim bayom ubalayla. If they travel by day and by night, peturim in a sukkah ben bayom uben balayla. Now, what's the logic over here? The logic over here is, as she says, dikhtiv, basukot teshvu. You got to sit in the sukkah. Ke'en yeshivato, yeshivat beto. The sukkah's dwelling is similar to the dwelling in a person's house. Mm-hmm. Which means a person leaves his house during the year to travel.
Yeah.
You don't sleep in the house, you travel, you go on the road. So therefore, your sukkah is no different. You leave the sukkah in order to travel. So when you're traveling, you don't have to sit in the sukkah because you're on the road. Which is, as you're traveling by then, you stop off to eat something or to rest or whatever it is. You're traveling, you're exempt. At night already, now you're checking into the town, you're not traveling anymore. The Gemara is telling you, you should make an effort to go find the sukkah and go sit in the sukkah. But the Rishonim point out, it means you have to make an effort to find the sukkah. If there's no sukkah available, then you're patur as well. But you have to make an effort to go try to find a sukkah. But in the day, you don't even have to make an effort. Why are you traveling? This is the normal way of a person living all year round. Well, this guy stays in his house 24 hours a day. No, he goes to work. He goes to work, he's on the road, so he's exempt. Now, hulchei l'dvar mitzvah. When a person's going on a mitzvah mission, then already peturim ben bayom or ben balayla. Doesn't matter. You patur the whole way through. Why? So, because you're osik b'mitzvah, patur b'mitzvah. Now, we learned yesterday, according to some Rishonim, even by night, when you're not traveling anymore, since by sleeping in a sukkah, it might slow you down the next day. Either because you're not going to get the right sleep, or because it's going to take your time till you get the sukkah, and it's going to set it up. So therefore, the hadush is by a mitzvah, even when you're not traveling, they're telling you, patur ben bayom, ben balayla, because it can impact the mitzvah in some way. That's what the Tosafot learned on the last daf. Ki adref hazdav rabba barav huna. The story of the rabbis. Ki avu aile b'shabbat ha-derigla. They used to go of the Shabbat of the Regel. Shabbat of the Regel of the holiday, the rabbi used to give a big
Dirasha.
And all the hakamim, as well as the people, used to come to hear the Dirasha. So when they used to come to the Shabbat of the Regel, the Beresh Gilutah, to the house of the Exilach, Havu Ganu Arrekta de Surah. They used to sleep at the riverbank.
Yeah.
They didn't sleep in the Sukkah. It was the Sukkot. Amre Anan Shiluhay Mitzvah Anan Ufturin. Where's Shiluhay Mitzvah? We're going to learn Torah. Yeah. And therefore, since we're on a mitzvah mission over here, we don't have to sleep in the Sukkah. Therefore, at night, right, when they're not traveling, they would sleep on the riverbank to show that Dawah, they consider Shiluhay Mitzvah. So you see that the Gemara's rule is supported by the story of the rabbis. That she says, Shiluhay Mitzvah Anan Shebao de Shmoa de Rasha, and to greet the Exarikta Asefat Hanahar. Correct. Right, look at Rashi. Holchin Nidvar Mitzvah Petrim Bayom Bala. Look at Rashi, he says another Sevaraya. Afapish en Holchin Ela Bayom. ומשום דתרידים ודואגים במחשבת המצווה ובתיקוני הפטורים על המצווה. That she says a little differently. That she says they're preoccupied even at night when they're not doing the mitzvah. What are they thinking about?
The mitzvah.
Tomorrow we got to go, we got to continue, we got to accomplish this. So therefore the tirdah of the mitzvah by night when they're not traveling still exempts them from the sukkah. Tanu Rabbanan. Shomrei Ha'ir. Shomrei Ha'ir would be like the city watchmen, the patrol. They walk around the city to make sure that everything is safe. Bayom peturim min hasukkah. Okay, shomrei ha'ir bayom, if they're considered day watchmen, peturim min hasukkah bayom. So they're exempt during the day. V'hayivim balayla, but at night, they have to sit in the sukkah. Shomrei ha'ir balayla, if they're night watchmen, peturim min hasukkah balayla. V'hayivim bayom. Shomrei Ha'ir ben Bayom ben Balayla, Peturim ben Asukah ben Bayom ben Balayla. And the logic is because that's the normal way of watching. They patrol. They go from place to place, from area to area, and therefore it's not normal for them to start putting a sukkah, you know, on in all these places. That she says that no, that she doesn't say on this. But the point is, it's not. It's like a business trip. When the guy leaves his house, that's his work. He's going around to the areas. However, Shomrei Ganot Upardesim, a guy that's a watchman, he's a watchman for gardens, or Pardesim is orchards. Peturim ben bayom uben balayla. Wow, he's exempt, whether he's a day watchman or night watchman, you're exempt always when he's watching from the field. Why? Let him build the sukkah in the field. I let him sit in the sukkah. What are you doing? He's not roaming.
Right.
Therefore, you build a sukkah in a stationary place. Sit in the sukkah, watch the field. Abaye says, no, when it says tishvu in the sukkah, it's got to be
like your house.
Good. So yeah, build like your house in the field. And she says, no. Why? Kederek shudar kol asher bebeto is kikato torah lani adirato. You gotta leave your house veladur kam besuka im mitotav, with your bedding, uchlitos mishoh, and your vessels, umatzaotav, and your cushions and all that, your couches. Vezeinu echol lavi an shem b'nei haTorah. What, the guy's gonna start moving all his house to the field? Which means it's not a sukkah of Kain Taduru.
Right.
You're learning a hadush now. A sukkah, to be a sukkah, has got to be a sukkah that shayach to be potentially like a house. A guy's in the middle of the field watching his orchard. Well, he's going to start bringing his couch from his house to the field. He's going to start bringing all his kelim and all that. You could build a four-wall structure with schach on top. But that's not enough to be a sukkah. It's got to be teshvu ke'en taduru. It's got to be like a residence. That's what's out of sukkah. You're leaving this residence to go to another residence. Since in the field it doesn't have that that resident feeling, we'll say, because of the Torah, guy's not going to bring lug all his stuff over there. So therefore he is patur. That's Abaye's answer. Rava Amar, Rava says a different reason. Pritza kor'a leganav. Pritza. A breach calls the thief, which means you're going to be sitting in the sukkah now, right? Now you're watching the field. Now, what could you watch? You can only watch what's in front of you because you're in the hut.
Right. Yeah.
So, what's the ganav going to say? It's beautiful. This guy's vulnerable. He'll go from behind and steal everything. So, you're going to put this guy in a sukkah. You're calling the ganavim to come and steal. Therefore, you don't have to sit in the sukkah if it's going to cause you hafsid. There's hafsid mamon over here. So, therefore, the achamim exempted him. Either because it's mistair. The guy's sitting in such a sukkah, he's mistair over here. Well, the guy's losing all his field over here. This is not hayav. So comes the Gemara and says, what's the difference? My benayu. Meaning, what's the difference if it's teshvuke en taduru or pertsak on el ganav? So ika benayu de kamentar karya de pere. Let's say he's just watching a pot of fruit in front of him. That's all you have. If it's in front of you, so if you're like teshvuke en taduru, you're still exempt. It's not a sukkah. You don't have your beds there. You don't have your furnishings there. But if you hold pertsak on el ganav, there's no pertsak on el ganav. You're only watching something that's in front of you, a pile of a pot of fruit. So therefore, you'd be hayav in that case. That's enough kamina between the two shitot. Comes the Gemara continues. Cholim mushav shehem. We know in the Mishnah that a sick person and their attendants are exempt from sukkah. Tanu rabbanan. We have a raita. Chole she'amru. When we said a sick person is exempt, lo chole she'esh bo sakana. Which means he doesn't have to be in mortal danger. Even if he's not in danger, he's exempt. Even if he just has like a little eyeache, or he has, let's say, a headache. Amar Rabban Shmuel Gamliel, pamachat hashti b'aynai b'kesari. One time I had like an eye ache in Caesarea. V'etir Rabbi Yosef b'Rabbi, and Rabbi Yosef b'Rabbi, it was the great hakam. B'Rabbi is a title. B'Rabbi means he was the great hakam, the chief rabbi. They would call B'Rabbi. That she says Yosef he hakam harif, the sharp scholar. Shemidoro in his generation, who Rabbi Yosef ben Halafta. That's Rabbi Yosef ben Halafta. And anyway, he said he allowed me lishan aniyum shameshi. I was able to see by my attendance, who's the sukkah outside of the sukkah. Now let's analyze for a moment the logic of why chole is patur. Because again, the sukkah is like your house. Now, if a person was in his house and he was sick and there was somewhere else for him to go to be more alleviated from his sickness, he'd go. And therefore, the same thing. Your sukkah is no different. It sits in the sukkah. There's a better place for him to go that'll have more comfort, so that he could also leave. It's just like you would leave your house when a person was sick to go to another place where it's more comfortable. So the sukkah is the same thing. You leave your sukkah to go to another place. It's exactly like your house. And the meshemeshim as well. Now, the meshemeshim, we could learn it, is because they're osik b'mitzvah. And we have a rule of sikma mitzvah, but they're involved in the Kohen Olim, now they're taking care of the sick guy. So therefore, their exemption is what? Or sikma mitzvah, but tumina mitzvah. And therefore, they're allowed to go and serve the chole. Comes the Gemara and says, but the hadush of the Gemara is, doesn't have to be mortal danger. Even if it's a minor headache or something like that, your chole, you can go out. Rav, sharal ravaha bardela, limichna bichilta besuka, mishum baki. Rav Shara, Rav allowed Rav Habar Dela to sleep in a under a canopy bed in the sukkah because of the flies, because of the insects. There was mosquitoes. Now, we learned earlier that really sleeping in a canopy bed that's tent of Fahim high, it has a roof, it's a separate domain, therefore you're not Yotzei Sukkah. So what he's really telling him is, you're Patur in the Sukkah. So the Rishonim asked, if you're Patur in the Sukkah, then go sleep in the house. What are you letting him sleep in there? So if you remember, we learned some shitot that said that since the Kila is an oil arai, and the Sukkah is an oil keva, that the oil keva, the Sukkah which is oil keva, does not mevatei the oil arai, which means there's some shitot that say, you're okay. So he told him, listen, we don't hold like that shitot, but you know what? Since there are some shitot, they say in the academy bed you're still sitting in the sukkah. You get the best of both worlds. You cover yourself from the bugs, and maybe according to one opinion, you fulfilled your mitzvah of sukkah. That's why I told specifically to sleep in the academy bed in the sukkah. So comes the Gemara and says, okay. Now I want to point out okay, the next point. Rava shara lel Rabbi Ahabar Ada. Rava allowed Rabbi Ahabar Ada limigna bar mimetallalta to sleep outside of the sukkah. Limigna, to sleep. Bar, outside, mimetallalta from the sukkah. Mishum sirha de gargishta. Because of the smell of the white sand. Which means it seems that the earth of the sukkah had a smell. Mm-hmm. And therefore he told me, you know what, you can sleep outside the sukkah. Now the Mefashim point out, what do you mean? If the sukkah had a smell to it, it's not kasher to start off with. This is a sirhon. This is a sirhon. It's not a resident. So the Mefashim explained, no. Really, it didn't have such a repugnant smell. But to the rabbi, he had a sensitive smell to him, it bothered. So therefore, Abbas, okay, for you it bothered. For normal people, let's say, this would be a fine sukkah, not a problem. But since there was a smell coming out of it, he couldn't stand it. So the rabbi told him he could sleep outside the sukkah. So the Rosh points out, Dafka to sleep. How come not to eat? Because since sleeping is a long time, so he wouldn't be able to withstand it. But eating, you know, you can eat fast. So therefore, that smell was not going to bother him so much for the eating. So therefore, he only allowed him to sleep. So that's what the Gemara says in the Mignah. Huh? It doesn't matter, any night, including the first night. Comes the Gemara and says, same thing. Rava letame, Rava follows his reasoning. Damar abba mista'ir, batu minasukah. He's a mistaken. The guy gets cut out with this stench. So therefore, he let him go into the house. Comes the Gemara and says, "What are you talking about? We learned in the Mishnah, Cholin v'shemeshehem p'tur min ha-sukkah. That a sick man and his attendants are indeed patur from the sukkah. Chole in mistaken lo." Smash for only a chole. You got to be sick to be exempt. But if a guy is just mistaed, you know, he has that's a headache. That's chole. But if a guy is just a mistaed, yeah, he's uncomfortable. He's not sick. Smash for from the mishnah. You're not patur. So how could you tell me this new item mistaed patur? Where'd you get that item from? The mishnah says chole. So the Gemara says Amri chole hu umshamesha peturim mistaed hu patur umshameshav lo. There's a difference. Not only is he exempt, but also his
servants,
attendants are exempt. When it comes to Mista'ed, no, Mista'ed only he's exempt, but not his attendants. Now the question is, what's the Hiduk? What is the difference? So the Mefarshim say like this.
in explaining the logic why one is patur and one is not when it comes to the attendance. The attendance of the chole are considered oskim mitzvah, like we learned, and therefore osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. But the mishamshim of a mitzta'ir, there's no mitzvah of a stressful person, and therefore you don't have the exemption of osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. So therefore they're not exempt. So that's the reason. Now, furthermore, there could be another understanding to this. We go according to the normal way of living, which means a normal guy who's sick, he leaves his house, and who goes with him? Attendants. You don't leave a sick guy alone. But a guy that's mitzta'ir, he leaves, let's say, wherever he is, but he doesn't take attendance with him, and therefore you see over here, tishvu kein tadur, it's like you live in your house. And therefore, since normally the mitzvah doesn't have attendants with him, so therefore the attendants are not going to be exempt. So there's a difference between a chole and a mitzta'ir. Chole hu umshameshah peturim, mitzta'ir hu patur umshameshah hayavim. Because the Gemara now discusses eating outside. You're allowed to eat. Achilat arai, like we'll call it a snack, outside the sukkah. So he goes, how much is this snack? What is this sheet? Amar Rav Yosef tarte utlat be'e. The Gemara says two or three eggs. Now that she does not have the word eggs, that she just has tarte utlat, shtayim or shalosh pa'amim yitin detoch piv. Meaning two or three mouthfuls. Like it doesn't give you the shiur, but that's the shiur he gives you. Meaning two or three mouthfuls. Look at those four. Tarte etlat, pinish bekontra shtayim or shalosh pa'amim, yitin letoch piv, morsel, belaz. Meaning two or three morsels of food that he puts in his mouth. Now, v'yesh sefarim shekatu behem tati tat be'e. Some of the grisa, eggs. V'akol echad. It's all the same shi'ur. Gabele matayet uftad rabbi Yosef, v'avede shi'ur betam beri'a kabetza. Which means the shi'ur of the person's throat is a kabetza. So he's really saying two or three betza. Which is a nice shi'ur. Now I want to point out that Tosfos says this also, that the discussion of it is dafka bepat. The discussion of it is bread. We're not talking about fruit. Fruit, no matter how much you eat of fruit, there's never keva. There's never a permanent eating of fruit. The discussion is how much bread is considered snacking that you'll be able to eat outside the sukkah. So the first rabbi is telling you, even two or three betzim is considered a snack. Amal Abaye, ve'azimnin sagian, sagi lelein shebache. Which means many times, that amount that you're saying is enough. I mean, you get satiated on that amount. Ve'abi this seudat keva. And that's not a snack. That's going to be a permanent meal. How can you say two or three mouthfuls? That's a lot. El amar bayeket da'im bar berav. The amount that a student eats before the shi'ur, before he comes to the shi'ur. In the olden days, the students, before they go to the shi'ur, they would eat something because they don't know how long the shi'ur is going to last. So they would grab a quick snack. As she says, as Lashon is, baboker. כשהולכים לבית המדרש ודואג שמה ימשיכו השמועות. He doesn't know how long the shi'ur is going to last. ותואם בלא פי ושוטה. He just puts a mouthful, which is really a kabetza. He eats a kabetza, he takes a drink, and he goes to the shi'ur. תנו לבנן. אוכלים אכילת עליי חוץ לסוכה. Clearly, you're allowed to eat אכילת עליי, right, outside the sukkah. So according to Abaye, we're learning the shiur is a kabetza. Up to a kabetza, you can eat outside the sukkah. Ve'en yishirim shat arai chutz ha-sukkah. But sleeping, even temporary napping, you cannot be outside the sukkah. My ta'ama, amar avashi gizra shemeir adem. Gizra, you might fall asleep, and you may be shirat keva. The guy can't control his sleep. So therefore he falls asleep. I'm going to go for 5 minutes. 5 minutes turns out to be 5 hours. So therefore he says he can't control it. So therefore he can't do it. But what do you mean? We learned in the Braita. Yashin Adam Shinat Arai B'Tfilin. A person is allowed to sleep in his tefillin, a temporary sleep. But not a permanent sleep. So the Gemara says, so they said by tefillin that from his nap is going to turn into a permanent sleep. Nah, it's talking about the tefillin where you have a shomer, which means you tell the guy, listen, I'm putting my head down for 5 minutes. Stand there and wake me up after 5 minutes. Your guarantor needs a guarantee. Who's watching him? Which means, how do you trust that guy? That guy might fall asleep on you. Therefore, you can't trust the guy to tell you, wake me up. Who's going to wake him up when he falls asleep? You know what the case of tefillin is? Why we're not worried he might sleep for a long time? B'maniyah rosho bin birkav askinan. The guy's sleeping in an awkward position. He has his head between his legs. So therefore, since he's sleeping in such a awkward position, so therefore, it's like exactly, it's cramped position. So therefore, we're not worried that he might end up sleeping longer. So that's the reason. So therefore, there's a difference between sukkah and tefillin. Tefillin. The position's going to cause him not to sleep more. But sukkah guy's lying out of bed. Therefore, we say you can't even sleep shinat arai. Rava Amar, Rava says, no, that's not the logic. He gives a new logic. En keba l'shina. There's no shi'ur of keva for sleeping, which means any amount is significant. Which is when it comes to eating, there's a concept of a snack
and
a permanent meal. It just to hold you over, and then this is a meal. But by sleeping, even a 5 minute sleep, there's value. It refreshes a person, and therefore that's keva already. There's no such thing as every sleep is considered valuable, and therefore you have an issue. So you tell me if there's no thing. So what's the subject of tefillin? So really, by tefillin, you're allowed to sleep on with the tefillin. Really. So why did the rabbi say you cannot sleep shinat keva? That she says shema yafiyah. Because we're worried during the time of his sleeping, he might pass gas, he gets like a vote for the tefillin. But in the Shirat Arai, we're not worried about him passing gas. So therefore, the Hakamim said, it's okay, Shirat Arai, but Shirat Keva is going to be as soon. That's the way that she understands. Good. So Kabzi Gemaran says, Tani Ada. We have, actually, Gemaran is going to call us three Braitot. The first Braita says like this, Yashin Adam Betfidin Shirat Arai. Right? The first Braita says, with tefillin, a person can sleep a temporary sleep, but not a permanent sleep. And one Braita says, you can sleep both, temporary and permanent. The third Braita says, lo keva velo arai. Not keva, not arai. So how do you explain these three Braita? Like Ashia. One Braita is talking about when you're holding the tefillin in your hands. Then you cannot sleep at all. Why? That she says, Shimmy Yiplumi Yado. Tefillin might fall out of your hand. If a guy falls asleep with holding his tefillin in his hand, what's going to happen? Drop it. Therefore, don't sleep at all with tefillin in your hand. If he's wearing it, then we say Shinat Arai is okay, but not Shinat Keva because of Shemme Yafiyah. But if you took off your tefillin Shalosh and you cover them with a sudar, with a cover, next to your place where you're sleeping, then you can even go shinat keva. There's no problem. So therefore, there's three levels. That she says in niham etzem ben ashotav ben keva ben arai. They learned that Torah malakas shadet. The Torah was not given to angels. Which means this: the guy's got to sleep. What do you tell the guy that he cannot sleep as long as his tefillin are next to him? Because you're worried something's going to happen. No, why don't you take them off and you cover them the next time? We're not worried that's going to be mevuzeh. Because so what are you going to do? The guy, you have to give the guy a chance to sleep. Now the Gemara asks. Where's the Shemay Afiyah? He's not wearing it. As she says, in the Ham Etzel Ben Ashrutav. Next is that. According to Rambam, he has a different understanding. Rambam is master that you cover them on their yarn, on your hand. And just they're covered, so we're not worried about Shemay Afiyah because it's covered. It's not so mevuzeh. The Kama Shinat Arai. Okay, now we have the famous question. How much is considered Shinat Arai? Now that's not going to affect us by Sukkah. Because Sukkah, even Shinat Akotrava, Shinat Arai is Asur. Okay? But the question is, by Tefillin, how much is Shinat Arai? So the Gemara says, Tani Rami Bar Yechezkel, Kedei Hinuch Me'a Amma. The amount of time it takes to walk 100 Amma. Tani Rami Achim, I'd like to support this. Hashem B'Tefillin, Ve'ro'eh Keri. A guy was, let's say, sleeping with the Tefillin, then he had a seminal discharge. And she says, Sarik Nesilekam Me'rosho B'od HaKeri Alam. Now, he's a Baal Keri. He has to take the tefillin off his head because you cannot wear the tefillin with the Keri on you. So therefore, what's the deen? How are you going to take off your tefillin? They don't want you to touch the box itself. The box is Kodesh. The box has the name of Hashem on it, the Sheen on it, or the tefillin themselves, the Shemot in the tefillin themselves. So how do you take off the tefillin? So that she's, the Gemara says, Ohez b'rtzua. Take it off by the straps. Ve'en ohez b'ketzitza. But you don't hold the box itself. Okay? Tevrei Rabbi Yaakov, Achamim Omrim, Yashin Adam Betfidin, Shinat Arai, Velo Shinat Keva. The Achamim came along and said, no, a person is not to sleep Shinat Arai with the Tefidin, but not Keva. Vekama Shinat Arai, Kedei Luch Me'a Amma. The shoe that takes to walk 100 Amma. Amar Rav. Rav comes along and says, Now, first of all, we have to understand what this machloket is. What are the hakamim coming to say over here? It says, v'hakamim omrim. What? Are they agreeing with the Baal Keri rule that we just said? Where are they coming to argue? So the Ritbah explains like this. I mean, the Farshim explains like this. Yeah, it's the Ritbah. V'dai rabbanam peligi. V'reka lememad the sphere of the Baal Keri asu betfilin. Takai malan chumuta betfilin. Which means really they're going to hold that what Baal Keri is mutar betfilin. Right? ולו את זה לא קרה בנה. אלא באפה ליגיד רבי יעקב סבר לא עשינו לאפילו שינת קבע לא משום חשש פחה ולא משום חשש קרי. ודבר על צוות עשורים לשינת קבע משום היה חששה. ואפשר דמוד רבנן דה אם להקרי מותר להניח תפילים. Which means, could be the first opinion over here which was רבי יעקב. He came along and said, הישן בתפילין, meaning as much you can sleep in your תפילין. Even שינת קבע. He just said, if you saw Kenny and you woke up, you have a problem. Hakim said, no. Keva, you can't see, but you tefillin on. We're choshesh, and that's going to happen. Afaka or Kenny and stuff like that. Therefore, we only allow you shinat arai. So the machlok, the hachamim, and the Rabbi Yaakov is, can you sleep shinat keva with tefillin? Rabbi Yaakov will say, you can't sleep. But if something happened to you, then you got to deal with it. But hachamim will say, no, we don't put you, don't put yourself in a position. According to the idea, could be the idea. Could be a hold you can wear tefillin with keva. The issue is we don't want you to teach that keva, lest you come to hafaha, or even, let's say hafaha, if you're saying the keri is mutan, 100%. That's my argument of Haralon the rabbis when it comes to the keri. He says, Miyu, if sad the mudra barad, the imra keri mutan la niyat tefillin. Could be they'll say that it's mutan to wear the tefillin. There's two ways of learning that when it comes to keva. Bottom line, the rabbis are arguing to be akum and then keva. Okay, that's the main machloket over here.
That would be worse than keri, yeah?
If I would be worse, that's according to
him.
Amarav, asul adam nishom bayom yote mishnat tasus. A person during the day cannot sleep more than the sleep of a
horse.
V'chama shnat tasus, how much is a horse sleep? Shitin nishme, 60 breaths. Now why, which is, they're telling a person shouldn't sleep too much during the day. Why? That she says a hadush, that she says bayom thirlam yipne bitul Torah. Bitul Torah, you gotta learn. What are we doing? Sleeping during the day now? You sleep during the night. They gotta learn. So it's about looking amongst the Rishonim exactly, the Harunim, how much Shitin Nishme is. It goes anywhere from 3.5 minutes all the way to 3 hours. And there's one Shittah in the middle, there's a half hour. Okay, so there's a different Shittot. Amar Abaye, Shante de Mor, Abaye said, the sleep of Mor, that was Rabbah Bar Nahmani, Kedrav. He used to sleep during the day like Rav did. Udrav kid Rabbi. And Rabbi used to sleep the amount that Rabbi did. Udrabi kid David. Rabbi slept like his ancestor, David HaMelech. Ud David kid Susya. And David slept during the day that she would have a sus. Ud Susya, Shitin Nishme. And the horse, that's already 60 breaths. That's the opinions that we said. Now, Abaye Havanayim. Abaye used to sleep during the day, as she says. the amount of time it takes to enter from Pupedita, travel to one city to Bekube, now which is a very long time. And she says shita parse, six parsaot. Now, six parsaot is like 6 times 72 minutes. Which is 4 or 5 hours. Okay? So he slept a long time. So the Gemara says, Rav Yoskari Ale Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef would say on him, Ad Matai Asir Tishkav. Until when is the lazy person going to sleep? Matai Taku Mishenatecha. Hey, when are you going to wake up? What are you sleeping so long for? He pointed out that there are some Mefarshim that said there's a ta'ut sofer in Nashi over here, and they want to say that's not shita per se, but it's a sixth of a parsa. That's the amount that Abaye slept. Sixth of a parsa would be 12 minutes, which is a very small amount of time, and they want to say could be that was the amount he slept at night, which means could be slept more than 12 minutes, but in one shot he slept at 12 minutes, and to that they told him Ad Matai Aser Tishkav, which is a whole different piece. It said that the Arizal also would sleep 2 or 3 hours, but he would sleep them in the intervals of Shitin Nishmer, not the straight. The Gaon Mevilna as well would not sleep more than a half hour at a time, and he would only sleep 2 hours a night, and that would be 2 hours in a 24-hour period. And they once told him that the rabbis gave it him as Yashanti Az. That you're supposed to sleep as is Hey, Alim Zayin, Shati Az. And here you're only, you're sleeping much less. So the Gaon of Vilna said, Yashanti Az, you have to read the end of the Pasuk. The end of the Pasuk says, Yanuah Li. Yanuah Li. Which means, Li is how much? 40. So the Gaon of Vilna said, when are you supposed to sleep 8 hours? 8 hours in 2 days. Which means in 48 hours you sleep 8. Yanu wahli. What do you mean in 48? Everybody slept, let's say, 4 hours minimum, 2 hours maybe in the day, 2 hours in the night. In any event, you see over here from the Gemara that it does not support a massive sleeping during the day. Halakha does say that Tamidi HaKamim, who learn all week, can cheat a little on Shabbat and sleep a little more during the day because they're learning during the week. But businessmen that are working during the week on Shabbat, they must spend their free time really learning and spending the time elevating themselves. We continue. A guy is going to sleep during the day. He wants to take off his tefillin, he can take off his tefillin. If he wants to keep them on, he can keep them on. Rashi says, how can he keep them on? Rashi says, there's two issues over here. Number one, you're not sleeping Shinat Keva. Shinat Arai. We said Shinat Arai is Mutar. Now, even if you're sleeping Shinat Arai, you cannot be with your wife when you're wearing your tefillin. Well, it's not the normal way to be with his wife during the daytime, so therefore, no problem, you go to sleep. But at night, you have to take off your tefillin ve'eru maniach. Devre Rabbi Natan. That's the opinion of Rabbi Natan. Rashi, afilu Shinat Arai. The reason why at night you have to take off your tefillin, dilma memlach v'yashan keva. Because at night you might end up sleeping a
long sleep,
so therefore you have a problem. Even if you're not with your wife, right. The problem is that you have to at night you could go into a long sleep. Rabbi Yosei Omer, Hayladim, Yeladim Rashis Bahorim, young guys, boys, Le'olam Chotzin Ve'en Manichin, Ve'pnei Shelegidim B'Tumah. They always take off the tefillin, ben bayom, ben balayla, because they're accustomed to tumah. She says, "What's the tumah? Kasser shema yiru keri sheru matzui." Since the young boys have hirurim, they have bad thoughts, and therefore they have keri. That therefore the Gemara is saying that you cannot have the tefillin on with this situation. That we have to take it off. Lema kasab. Then whose opinion is that? Rabbi Yosef. Lema kasab. Rabbi Yosef. Bal keri asul daniyat tefillin. Are we going to say that Rabbi Yosef subscribes to the opinion that says that a bal keri cannot wear tefillin? That's why he's making the bachurim. Whenever they go to sleep, tell them to take it off. Amar Rabbi Yehonah, b'yiladim v'nashotehim emmaim askina. No, that's not the issue. Really, Rabbi Yosef can hold the Baal Keri, can wear tefillin. So why is he making the Bahurim take off the tefillin? Because we're talking about Bahurim that are with their wives. Shem yavu lidei helgel davar. We're worried they might forget that they were in the tefillin. And they might end up, even in the day, they might end up going with their wives. And therefore, it's zuzul. Everybody agrees you cannot have tashmish with your tefillin on. Even if you can be a Baal Keri, but if tashmish is b'zayon, firi tefillin. So then she says, v'avadai asu lebezotan rog behem kalut rosh. Tanu lebanan. Shachach v'shemesh mitato betefillin. Now the guy that made a mistake. He forgot. He had tashmish amita with his tefillin on. Eno ochez lo b'ritzu'a ve'lo b'ketzitza. Now you got to take him off. He did not take his tefillin off. Not by holding the ritzu'a. He can't even touch the straps. Because again, the ketzitza, the box itself. Al chiyitol yadav yitem. Until he washes his hands. Why? Desha yadav askaniyotem. Because his hands are dirty now. After the tashmish, the sheet says, askanov eshema nagobim ko matinov. And since they touch the place of the Nofed, a dirty place, so therefore his hands are not dirty, he cannot touch the tefillin, therefore he has to clean his hands for the benefit of our listeners to Masechet Sukkah. We are referring to several books when we refer to illustrations and pictures. One of them is Hamma'or Hamivu'ar, that is the picture book on Masechet Sukkah, and also a new book called Ha'od Ve'Ha'Hadar. So we will refer to it on the tapes and in the audio. We'll refer to both of those books, and as well Perush Hai on Masechet Sukkah.